You're listening to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. The program is Hospi Vision, and welcome to the program. My guest today in the studio is Jean-Marie Brown. Jean-Marie, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Jean-Marie, you've been through some really difficult times.
Mm.
Lots of trauma. Would you just share with us there?
So all of my trauma basically happened about, let's say, almost three years ago, where in a single week it felt like my entire life or the world that I had created had fell completely through. So on the Monday, my grandmother had died of a heart attack, we suspect. The Friday, I had my miscarriage and lost my baby as well. And then the next week, Tuesday, I had found out that my husband had betrayed me with one of my best friends as well. So it's been quite a journey from there.
That must have been a really...
in 1 week.
Hammered in three, what, 4 days?
Yeah, it was terrible. It was very terrible.
But after all that that you went through, it must have been a painful experience.
It was very painful. I mean, there were days that I kind of just let my boss know, like, I'm not coming into work today, as the woman that was the third party in my marriage actually worked at the same school that I worked at as well.
Mm.
So, very kind of went into a depression and bitter and numb feeling through all of that. But today it's better, almost healed. Mm. And it's a very long journey to walk as well.
Mm, that's been quite a while then since... But it's not something that you just shrug off like water off a duck's back.
I tried. I tried to keep a strong face. And, it was very difficult. But also the greatest heartache of my life kind of changed my life as well for the better. I found solace and comfort and also healing with Jesus, especially. So I actually wrote a poem about it where... In Afrikaans, it's called My Bose, My Matras, My Bose Sitkomer. So that was what I was left with after the divorce and the affair. I was left with a mattress of my bed. And obviously, I had nowhere else to go except back to my dad's house. And I slept on literally our living room's floor with the mattress that I had. And I remember one night dreaming, sitting in a field with the most beautiful flowers and clouds and on a bench kind of overlooking everything. And this white figure sitting next to me and just telling me that everything will be okay. Everything will be fine. I just need to believe that this is a redirection and he's always there for me. Like Jesus is always there. And it's time to start not forgiving only the person that broke my heart or the two people that broke my heart, but kind of forgiving myself as well. Mm. So, yeah.
So, but there's a lot of forgiveness that is involved. So,
definitely.
When you're going through trauma like that and other people are involved, how does one forgive when you've been through so much trauma?
I don't think your first instinct is to forgive. When everything happened at first, you obviously go through a whirlwind of emotions, especially anger and disappointment and heartbreak, especially. For me, it was more of something that I did not expect at all happening the way that it does, especially leading like three bad things in 1 week. And my forgiveness journey started actually when I bought a book by Lisa Turkhurst, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. And she went kind of through the same betrayal as I did. And she went to see a counselor from her church as well. And he asked her to write everything that had hurt her from this entire experience or from as soon as she can remember. And on little post-it notes, and she would scatter the entire floor with these post-it notes, writing everything down that had hurt her or had broken her heart. And he would ask her per piece of paper, is she ready to forgive this? And some of the things were easy to forgive. And when it came to the more deeper things, where she said, she knows she will forgive eventually, but her feelings right now and her emotions right now cannot forgive that. And they would do a prayer where they said, Lord, please help me forgive this, and whatever that I'm not capable of forgiving now may be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that had me, and I also sat on the floor and I wrote everything. And those things that I struggle to forgive, actually, I would also pray, Lord, help me. You know, it's a journey. It's not just, I say I forgive you and then it's done. It's definitely a learning, getting to learn yourself, getting to know yourself as well. Allowing yourself to, as you said, you've read a Facebook post of mine as well. And I've started these Facebook posts where I write a letter to a friend. I call it Liebe Vriendin. And that has kind of helped me also work through my own emotions and not invalidate my own emotions. After such big trauma and betrayal, you kind of feel like everybody around you is already over the situation, and you start to become, or you start to feel like you are a burden. For me, going to my dad was like, my heart is breaking, I want to cry, and this, and he just like listen, which is a good thing. And most of the people around me used to say there's a time to grieve and then there's a time to move on and get over it. And if it were only that easy, and it's not. And I think forgiveness starts when I went to the bathroom now in the studio. The woman's bathroom has a plaque that says, forgive and be freed. And it quotes Luke 23, verse 34, where Jesus is hanging on the cross of the crucifixion and he says, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And the entire way, yeah, I thought, that is exactly what I've been going through and been praying for in a journal that I have, is forgive those that break our hearts because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know the hurt that they are causing. And it is really true. It's forgive and be freed. And forgiveness isn't a one-shot. You say you have forgiven someone or yourself and then it's over. So forgiveness starts with allowing yourself to feel what you have to feel. It allows yourself to enjoy the things you enjoyed before the heartbreak or before that person. And, you know, life is so much more than the person that had broken your heart. And it takes a while. I mean, it's taken me 2 years. In July, it will be 2 years since the entire trauma. And still, till this day, I will get triggered or angry or cry in my car. It's actually funny now that I think back on it. But forgiveness is also, Jesus was done to so many bad things in much more worse constraints that I have been done to. And who am I to not be able to forgive that? Because even though my ex-husband now and the ex-best friend now have done all of these things, Jesus still loves them. He's forgiven them without even asking them their permission to forgive. And yes, who am I to not forgive trespasses? And that's what the Lord's Prayer says. Forgive our daily trespasses as we will be forgiven as well. So that's every day, is reminding myself that forgiveness is also not for the other person. It's for your heart as well. It's for your healing and your moving forward.
Because the other person, if you don't forgive, it's that unaware. Other person doesn't care.
No, they don't care. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So that's, it's, as you say, it's not easy to just forgive. It's not a question of just saying, oh, forgive. It's a lot more than that. So, but you've been with this process now for 2 years. Do you feel like you're more free than you were?
I definitely feel more free now. But I also have a lot of credit to give to the people, especially at work and my family, that have been there through every up and every down. And I think the most important part about forgiveness is also your support system. Someone to remind you that there's more to life than a failed marriage or the loss of your baby or family member. And yes, so every day it's a journey. It's a choice that you have to make every morning when you open your eyes. You have to choose to forgive no matter what you are feeling that specific day.
Mm. Now, just a last question. If somebody is listening in and they've got a family member that's going through something like you, what would you like to say to that person? How should they react? What should they do?
For the person supporting a family member going through the same, you should just be there. Listen to them when they are crying. Listen to them when they are happy. Listen to them when they sit in the silence. Just the most important thing is be there and also ministering to them in a way of prayer. Prayer is so important in such a difficult time, and I think prayer is the most important weapon we can use against betrayal and heartbreak, and especially with forgiveness. It's so important to have a specific prayer for something like that, and friends and a community around you that can pray for you during such tough times.
Does a hug make a difference?
It does. It's momentarily it makes it better, but most of the time I walked away feeling like you're not the person that I want to hug. The person that I want to hug is the one that broke my heart. Mm-hmm. So rather pray for me and just listen to me. Don't mm-hmm. tell me and don't give advice. Just listen.
Okay. Well, thank you for that advice, and thank you for being willing to share with us.
Sure.
And I'm sure that somebody's listening in
that's
going to make that learn something from it. I've been talking to Jean-Marie Brown, sharing with us about heartache, pain, and forgiveness. You're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion on 657 AM, or you can listen to Radio Pulpit on OVHD, channel 106. The program is Hospi Vision, and as usual, it's time for our devotion. So I'd like to share with you from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 and 32. And it reads, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and tumult and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." I'm just going to read that far. You know, the Bible has all sorts of rules and laws, and sometimes I hear people say they don't want to be bound by all sorts of rules and regulations, and that's why they're not interested in becoming Christians. But what we need to understand is that the rules and laws that God lays down are for our own protection. Jean-Marie testified to this when she spoke about forgiveness today. Not forgiving someone eventually destroys you. It's like a cancer inside you that slowly grows until it manifests in a way that undermines your whole life and happiness. It also excludes God's joy. God's joy cannot manifest in you while you harbor unforgiveness. The Bible says in Nehemiah 8 verse 10 that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's why it taps your strength when you refuse to forgive and you become a bitter person that often loses friends because of that bitterness. The sad part is that unforgiveness becomes a kind of comfort zone, and it's increasingly difficult to get out of that comfort zone as time goes by. Some years ago, I talked to a medical researcher on this program, and he did extensive research on breast cancer. His scientifically proved findings showed that there was a significant correlation between breast cancer, unforgiveness, and relationship problems. The research also required that patients go through a process of forgiving the people that hurt them. And in a significant number of cases, the cancer disappeared when peace was made with those people and when forgiveness was given. Our scripture today also says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." The worst kind of problem that follows unforgiveness is the question of whether God will forgive us if we don't forgive others. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 tells us that the Lord forgives us just like we forgive others. You see, unforgiveness is not something you just live with. It destroys you emotionally and spiritually, and even has a physical dimension. It also has the implication that you yourself will quite possibly not be forgiven by God. That's a frightening idea, isn't it? Let's today forgive those who have hurt us and sinned against us. Let's pray together. Lord, today I want to confess my unforgiveness, and I unconditionally forgive those people who have hurt me. Thank you that I can now also accept your forgiveness for all my own sins. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite you to sit back and enjoy the music that I've chosen for you, and it's all about forgiveness.